Good morning.
Good morning.
In continuing in our lesson on the Sermon of the Mount, we'll be in chapter 7, 7 through 12 this morning. So if you would like to turn there. You know, there's several times Jesus emphasizes the importance of prayer. And through the whole Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 and verse 44, he'll talk about praying for our enemies, that prayer is essential for us to even have opportunity to love like Him. In chapter 6, 5 and 6, prayer changes, and there's a reason why we should have the right motives for our prayer, and to have that authentic, the word authentic, that genuine relationship to God. We need to be genuinely close to God through prayer. In chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, he talks about our to trust in God, to go to God with what we need. He knows what we need before we even ask Him, which is amazing. And then in chapter 6 again, in verses 9 through 13, he'll talk about the what we would call the Lord's Prayer. And that's where we can go to God with our needs. He encourages us to go to our Father, our Heavenly Father, and go to Him for these things. But in that, he also talks about forgiveness, and that we can have an opportunity to be able to forgive, which is important while we're here on the earth alive, to be able to forgive, to be forgiven by God. With the measure we use, it'll be used to us. And then also, I think something that's often missed in prayer is the ability to go to God and pray for the protection from the evil one, the spiritual war we're in. And then where I want to be in chapter 7, 7 through 12, Jesus is going to talk to us, the Christians, about a persistent prayer, having that ability to be persistent in what we pray to Him for and why that's important. So beginning in chapter 7, verses 7, He'll say, "Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it'll be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask Him?" And then in verse 12, which I believe is included in this thought, "So whatever you wish, that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So today's sermon title, there's a lot of time we talk about the golden rule in verse 12. A lot of people mention the golden rule. A golden relationship with God and others. A golden relationship, the best it can be. The command, Jesus lays out how we should pray. He teaches us how to pray earlier in His sermon. But now He'll say, we need to be asking, seeking, and knocking. And I think it's important because the Greek, in the present tense imperative, it means to continually, ongoing, go before God in this desire to be with Him. It isn't just a one-time event. Sometimes this can happen. But in fact, when we ask in Jesus' message, Jesus throughout His whole ministry is going to teach us how to pray and why we should pray and the reason for it. And in Luke 18:1, He says, "Men ought always to pray and not give up." I want to emphasize this. I don't have a whole lot of PowerPoint to this, but the idea to never give up. as a Christian is a big deal. It's a continual, and it only comes through prayer to God, being close to God. And so the great promise that Jesus brings here, ask and it'll be given to you. Now, it's a great promise that God would even answer. What an honorable privilege it is to be able to go to the invisible Father in heaven to talk to Him and be heard from by Him. Not only be heard, but that He answers. That He answers prayer. He answers what we request. And obviously in accordance to His will. That everyone who asks, it'll be given. You'll find. It'll be opened. That's a promise. That's a promise of God. In fact, in verse 11, He says He gives good gifts. Good gifts are from God. And gifts that bring us life and not harm us. Sometimes people want gifts beyond what's needed in this world. I don't think we're always going to get that song by the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want. But it does say in that song, but you'll get what you need. And I think in that secular perspective, not getting everything we want, though there's a lot of things we would like to have in life, God gives us what we need. And they're perfect gifts for the situation. Maybe we'll receive something differently than what we received in the past 30 or 40 years of being a Christian. But always remember, God is a good giver. That's important. And then He says, talks about how much more, right? God gives what's the best thing for us. Not always what we want, but what is best. And since we're even flawed parents, He says, though you are evil. Man, that's a painful thought when we're reading the Bible and we're trying to be on God's side to be Christians, to be followers of this Jesus, of the Bible, the Messiah. And He says, if you then are evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more does God give what's best for us? I think it's important to know that. That God is the Father, and that we're children of His. Christians that are faithful to God, we're children of God. Children of God, no matter how old we may grow, we're children of God. It's a beautiful concept. God wants us to see this. There's times, again, because He mentions the stone. Which of you who asks, you know, Dad, can I have something to eat? You're going to, you know, the father, you're going to give him some bread to eat. You're not going to give him a stone. Or if he says, can I have some protein, some fish? You're not going to give him a serpent. I mean, who wants to eat a snake, right? When you're a kid especially. We're afraid of those. But thinking about that, God knows what people need. And we know what our children need. And I think it's important for us to realize that as we don't trick people around us when someone asks us for a favor or asks us to do something, God isn't out to trick us. I think that's really important, that God's for people. He wants the best of people. He wants the best from us, yes, but He's out to give us the best. God is for us. God is for us. And so, when we bring our requests to God, which is very difficult, having conversation with one another sometimes, I've been praying to God about this for so long and it still hasn't happened, or I don't know what's going to be coming of the outcome of this situation, but sometimes prayers are delayed. You know, we always talk, we mention, not always, but sometimes we'll talk and have the conversation about, well, God will answer in His time. And you know what? There is some truth to that. But I'm not saying that God won't directly answer either. He will answer directly and fast if it's in His will. And so God is always working. And that's the idea of working behind the scenes. We have to realize God is in charge of everything, and it's not like He's out to neglect any one of us. He sees it all. He sees every part of our being, our good times, our hardships. He's for us. And he wants the best of us. This is something I think Jesus is really wanting us to get a hold of, is to ask God. Ask God. When you're troubled, pray to God. When you're burdened in life, pray to God. Go to God. Ask God. It's okay to say, help me, God. It's okay. And then just the faith. You know, for us on our end, we need to have faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. And here I put, certain of what is not seen. We're certain that God will do what he promises. Request to God will be denied. And I think this is an important thought. Paul's thorn in his flesh. Sometimes, again, we won't always get what we want. But why will we be denied sometimes? Because requests we make at times, even in Paul's situation, he got this thorn in his flesh. Some say his vision was going. Others say it was just he was really burdened with trying to preach the word and keep people afloat. There's all kinds of ideas to his thorn in his flesh. But one thing we know is he pleaded to God 3 times, please take this burden from me, God. And God says, to keep him humble, because he says, to keep me from becoming conceited. And you get some revelation from God like Paul did to give us his word. That's pretty awesome when God's chosen you to allow a man like the Apostle Paul to give mankind the rest of our lives his word. You can get bowed up a bit. Wow, God's really working through me to pen the word of God. But it's interesting, when Paul's struggling, he says, God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. So when we think about not all of our requests are going to be heard, it's not that God doesn't listen. But again, we have to grasp that God's grace is sufficient for all of us. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. The weaker we are, at times it's maybe the closest we can be to God. Because when everything's going good, or we think's going good, then we can let off the gas pedal sometimes in our closeness to God. God wants us to be persistent, excited about going to him for anything. When times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider both of them that way. God's strength can be found, and that's the point of this, that God's strength can be found in difficult times. And the power of Christ resting on us, it really matters, because we rely on God with our whole heart. And that brings us to seeking. Seeking God. Jesus says, ask and then seek. The prophet Jeremiah says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is God saying, you do that with all your heart, you'll find me. David says, in his personal, close relationship to God, he says, you've said, seek my face, God. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. It's just the humility to know who we go to in our life. And not just to seek blessings from God, but God himself. That's our relationship. It's not just having a prayer to think, okay, God, I need this, I need that, I need... God wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to communicate like we do each other in our proper relationships. Tell God you love him once in a while. It goes a long way. Know who he is, just not what he can do. That's the point. Not just, okay, God can take care of any need we have, but he wants us to know him. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's a continual effort to seek God's kingdom first. Well, before that, I want to back up, because it is important that we know that God, the guarantee from God, is that we will find him. Both the seeker, the person that isn't a Christian, you'll find him. He promises that. when you seek Him with all your heart. And for the believer, when we have to continually seek God with everything we have. When times are good and when times are bad. Great times, awesome times. And that effort carries over to what we sang, seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness. From the heart. And I put that in parentheses. From the heart. You have to give God everything you are. Then God will give you what you need. And then, thirdly, that knock. The knock. I made a couple thoughts. Just don't quit when the pressure's the highest. Keep on knocking. To alleviate the pressure part that we get in our minds and the overwhelmness of life, got to keep on knocking to God. Help me, God. Help me overcome. Help me overcome when I'm struggling. Persistence demonstrates faith and patience depending on God. That's what He wants. It's not just a couple day a week conversation with God. It's every day. Every day. Just like we would a great relationship with one another. God hears and responds. That's incredible. 1 John 5:14 and 15. You can look this up and think about this, but all in accordance to God's will, He will respond. God opens the door that we can't open ourselves. That's encouraging that He will answer. And then knocking requires, who would knock if any otherwise, confidently expecting a response from Him. I mean, to knock on it when there's an empty house and no one's in there, and you know no one's in there, but you do it every day, it's kind of, that would be kind of discouraging, knowing no one's in there, but God is in His home. God is in heaven, and we have an opportunity to help me, God, and knock on His door continually. But I do think that many times people give up too soon on God for His answer. I really do. Because there is something about being persistently faithful to God and never giving up. And then lastly, or the golden rule. This is the golden rule. We know He says, so whatever you do, you wish on others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so, why is this called the golden rule? Well, it's similar to asking, seeking, and knocking. I think there is some parallels to this, that it requires a continual ongoing action to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a continual. It's not, well, I did a nice thing for somebody on Monday and then the rest of the week goes by and that's it. It's always the heart to serve people in a way that you would have them serve you and love you. And Jesus, He links this relationship we have with God through prayer and the good things He gives to our loving behavior toward other people. It's linked together. Whatever we've done to others, we've done to Jesus, right? He mentions this in Matthew 25. And then God gives generously good gifts. And I think this is important to understand, that He gives good gifts. And we're called to treat others with the same goodness. The same way God gives us. That's why it's important to have this relationship with God, because as it comes in us, our relationship to God, it overflows to the next person. That's how we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's why He says in Romans 13:9-10, for the commands, you shall not commit adultery, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't steal, you should not covet, or any other commandment, I like how Paul writes this, are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So with all that said, sometimes rules are usually expressed in the negative, especially when you hear the rules. When you're a kid, it's like very painful. You don't do that, don't do that, you shall not, and then yet. But it's there to change our hearts. to change our hearts. It's for the good. It's not that God's out to allow us not to understand what He does and does not want us to do in life. He wants us to have a full life, but there's that aspect too of the golden rule. When I think about the golden rule, it's unselfishly showing kindness without partiality. That's why the book of James is very good about understanding and realizing that God is teaching that how we treat others, we're going to be treated that way. I think it's very important in that. And if you really keep the royal law, I like this expression, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, again, it's simple. You're doing good. You're doing right. You're doing right. It means treating all peoples as Jesus did. You're doing right. That's how you're going to make it to be with God in heaven. Christianity is not only a life of abstinence from deliberate sin. We know that we need to not sin to go to heaven. God wants us to repent and change. But it's also turning away, yes, from evil, but doing good to other people. You can be a monk and be almost perfect by yourself, abstaining from the world. God doesn't want that. He wants us to love people. Jesus demonstrates His royal law that while we were still sinners, He died for us. I think about that often, like He laid His life down. And that's an important concept to realizing. He fulfilled what He preached and practiced. Jesus teaches that the golden rule is a critical part of living out our faith in action. Right? What good is it for a man that says he has faith and he does nothing? And then the golden result. This sums up the law and the prophets. And this really sums up what Jesus is saying here about drawing and having that relationship to God and Jesus and one another. The fulfilled goal of God's command, this sums it up. Love summarizes the rule of the whole entire Bible. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That's always been God's plan. So for the Christian, God grants us good gifts. I've mentioned this a couple times, but again, He wants us to understand that He's the Father that gives good gifts. And for us, if we grasp this, and I say it kindly, but am I sharing the same goodness to God with others? That's really where our Christian life meets God. So the invitation is simple, simple and sweet, I pray. Am I persistent in my prayer? This is what Jesus says clearly. If you get nothing out of what I've said, ask, seek, and knock. Continually do this. It'll reflect in how you treat other people. When we're close to God, it's going to show how we treat other people and we're conscious of God to love Him and love our neighbor as ourselves. But God promises those who seek and find Him are given good gifts. And I think about the gifts that were given to us on the earth, but even just the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. And Luke, he says, won't He even give those who ask the Holy Spirit? And that's a whole other deep study. The same parallel passage in Luke, he says, He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. God is our perfect Father in heaven. Again, people have so many different concepts of God, but He's our Heavenly Father. He created us. He's invisible. But He made us in His image. And that's just an incredible opportunity for us to have an increased faith. And He's got open ears. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save anybody. It's not like He's in heaven with only a short arm. He can't reach down in heaven and save us. Nor is His ear too dull to hear. It's not like God doesn't have ears. He hears everything. It's amazing. God hears every one of our persistent prayers to Him. Think about that. all must be asking, seeking, and knocking to God rather than trying to control the outcome in our lives ourselves. It's just so hard sometimes to give up everything and give it all to God. But are you seeking God? He promises you'll find Him. For the person that's seeking God, He promises you will find Him. We do not do good to be saved. There's nothing we can do to be saved. You can't save you. You can respond to God to be saved, but you can't save yourself. But do good because we are saved and desire to be saved, or desire to be saved in that aspect. And the last question is, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Ask, seek, and knock, and follow the golden rule is the biggest picture we can understand. That when we ask God, we're seeking Him, He says, you'll find me, and we're persistent. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing good. This is the plan of God. If there's anyone here that's not a Christian who has not responded to the gospel or needs further study on this, please come forward and as we sing the invitation song.